Okay, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. We are very fortunate to have Gopi Geeta Mataji on call with us, and we will continue part two of our parenting seminar today. Mataji is going to speak for 15 minutes, and it's going to be followed by addressing all the questions that were asked by devotees. Hare Krishna, Mataji, are you on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gopi Geeta Mataji. Thank you very much, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving us your valuable time and association this morning, Mataji. And thank you for further enlightening us on the parenting process for kids. Hare Krishna.
Now, Mataji, are you in live also, YouTube live, Mataji?
I'm just setting it up right now. Forgive me. It always takes me a little bit longer than I expect. So I'm just setting it up right now. If I can just give me just 2 minutes and it'll be ready to go.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Hare Krishna, everybody. So I believe Hare Krishna, everybody. I believe that we are live now. If you can also please confirm with the call that you are able to see it and that it is correct. Thank you so much for allowing me to join last week to speak to you all. And since then, Antina Gopika Mataji shared with me quite a few of your questions that are actually extremely important, extremely intense questions for us to hear. So I was wanting to address those questions that were shared and stick with those specific questions. And then, you know, note down if you have any other questions that arise to please note those down afterwards. And then we can cover those later. It's interesting because everything...
I'm so sorry for interrupting. Mataji, we can't hear you on YouTube, Mataji.
You can't hear me on YouTube, okay. Wonder why that would be. Let me see if I can call one of my... I'm going to end this stream then, and we can delete this one.
No, Mataji. I just think there might be some volume setting. I don't know.
Oh, I just realized. Okay, let me get it started again.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Let me get it started again. Let's see. Okay, you can let me know if it works now.
Is it a new stream?
Sorry, everybody. So now it's a new stream, and here I am speaking about Krishna conscious parenting with opposition in response to many of your questions that were asked. If you can just double check that you can hear me now, Masji?
Yes.
Yes, you can hear now?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for your patience as I figure out all this technology. So let's start off again with some of our prayers to get us in the proper frame of mind and to set our intention for the session. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिण परमानन्दमाधव श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वर ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकाम् हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. And if you can all join in with me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, we cannot hear you.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, everything okay? Can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji.
All right, Hare Krishna, everyone. So I wanted to speak for about, hopefully, 10, 15 minutes, and the points that I was going to make are going to help cover the questions that were asked. It's interesting because all of the questions that you had sent in, thank you so much for sharing your hearts and sharing these questions. And all of these questions that were sent in were, they all had a very specific theme about it. And the main theme of these questions was basically, how do we parent our children in an alternate reality, in a world where almost every single force that is around us is going in complete opposition to the Vedic Krishna conscious principles that we are trying to establish in our own lives. And so it's interesting because as grihasthas, as those who are householders with families, we have even more of a heavy burden to bear in trying to become Krishna conscious ourselves and also taking with us our family members and our children. And so that responsibility is a very grave responsibility and can be seen as an extremely difficult one as well. And, you know, usually you hear of Krishna conscious philosophy, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam, many of the characters do not have families and they're either sannyasis or yogis or sages, and they are, you know, speaking Krishna conscious philosophy. And then when you hear it and you put it into your own life and then you realize, wait a minute, I don't live this type of a world that's in the Naimisharanya forest with Siddha Goswami and Sukadeva Goswami. How can I take their teachings and make it relevant to my life today in North America, you know, like actually make it relevant to what I'm doing right now here and today? And so it's just interesting that all of the questions that had come in were kind of, you know, based on that background of how to give our Krishna consciousness to our children and strengthen our relationship with our children according to, you know, the status that they're in right now, the schools they may go to, the friends that they may have, even some parents that may be in opposition. So I wanted to start with identification that in 3 weeks, it will be the appearance day of Sri Lord Nishrinadev. And because of that, at the TKG Academy, we have been planning and preparing for Nishrinadev's appearance day with all the students. And we've been saying prayers every single morning. They will be doing a beautiful drama. Mother Kalindi and Mother Radha Kund is getting together all the ladies, as many ladies as can participate, and putting together a beautiful drama, and we will be celebrating it on behalf of TKG Academy. The GBC resolution this year was that this Nishrinadev festival should be celebrated on behalf and dedicated on behalf of the children of our society and on behalf of the parents of our society. Grihastha Ashram is more than 90% of our society. And so learning all these tips and tricks as to how to really firm up our Grihastha Ashram and firm up ourselves and make ourselves have a strong foundation with which to take care of our children and nurture our children is really important. So I wanted to start off the play that we're doing. Mother Kalindi, she has, I'm in the role of Bhumi, of Earth. And so the way it starts off is I have to stand with a specific Bharatanatyam pose. And I learned Bharatanatyam when I was really young. And I haven't done it in quite some time. And so she's kind of training me and teaching me, like, how to stand. And just the other day, she was like, Earth is very solid and very firm, and she is the nourisher, Dharani Dhara. She is the nourisher of the entire world, of the entire universe. The Earth, or Bhumi Loka, or the Bhu planet, is where even the demigods come down to be able to get out of the samsara cycle of birth and death. And so because that is who Earth is and what Earth signifies, she is the first mother. And she gives us the strength as mothers and as fathers to also nurture and nourish our children. And this is such an important point, because sometimes when we have our children, when we're being gifted our children by the Lord, we don't realize that with that gift that Krishna has given us, we have also been given that strength. And if we can identify ourselves as the nourishers and the nurturers of human beings, and those of you who have babies or have 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, you realize this very quickly, that if I make one wrong move, this human being, this living entity's life is literally in my hands. I remember the first bath that we gave to Raju when he was 3 months older. You know, probably not 3 months, 2 weeks, right when the umbilical cord is supposed to come off, where we had to submerge him completely inside of the tub, and how nervous we were that if we don't hold his head properly, if we jerk him too hard, something may happen to him, because that responsibility of, wow, I am literally raising a complete human being, and his life and death are in my hands. That is the responsibility of a mother and a father. And so starting from age, 0 months, or even when you're pregnant, you start off with that realization. But then as they get older, 1, 2, 3, it starts waning, because they're starting to become independent and have more faculties on their own. And as it starts waning, we start becoming perhaps sometimes a little weaker in our resolve to keep them, to mold them and train them and grow them, so to speak, and raise them according to what principles and values and our own value system. And the outside forces start coming in. You know, when they're up until a year old, they're just always with you, near you, especially if you're home with your children. And so you're not so concerned about the outside forces, you know, friends and society and TV and all of these other ideas and thoughts that will start entering their minds, that they will start becoming attached to. It starts becoming a little more complex. It's not just your thoughts and your belief system that are entering your children. And so because of this, many of the questions today were about how do I instill these Krishna conscious values in my children, despite their friends, despite the society around them. One question was about grandparents. And so this little talk that I'm giving, I'm hoping that this will completely solidify your strength, solidify your identity with your children. So if we remember first that we are the first mother, and what does that mean, or father? A lot of the questions came from Mataji's, from women. But there are also men that are in this role, especially all the fathers are also in this role and take this role just as seriously as men do. And if we first identify that, that means that this child has become our disciple. We are our child's first and most important guru or spiritual master. So in addition to taking care of their life's needs and making sure they're alive, making sure they're fed and clothed and they have healthy prashad in their bellies and that they're happy, and then of course as they get older that they have really, really good grades and that they keep good company, in addition to all of that, it's
of primal importance that you give your heart to your children. What is in your heart? Who is in your heart? You somehow or another take time to really figure out how will I give the qualities and the core values, the core of the core of the core of who I am and what I believe and what I am learning in Krishna consciousness, how to impart that to my child. And because your child, and especially when they're younger, you know, there's, you know, it's a little difficult to start on this when they're 10 or 12 or 15, but that's, it's still never, ever too late. Devotees become very, very amazing, serious devotees even when they met Srila Prabhupada in their 20s or when they meet spiritual masters and spiritual authorities in their 20s. But as a mother and as a father, you are the easiest and the most natural choice to become the spiritual master of your own child. It is actually so much easier than someone who already has had 25 years or 20 years of an opposite paradigm in this life. So giving your heart to your children, what does that mean? So some of the questions now, I'll start going through these questions, if that's okay. And some of the questions are, let me pull up the first one that I wanted to address. Such beautiful questions. Okay, here we are. How can we make our kids understand sometimes we don't give certain things at home, like watching certain programs on TV, or we don't give them chocolate, but if we go in a friend's place, we feel they're too attached to the TV and they don't necessarily want, you know, us, they don't want to listen to us. They're going to do what they want to do regardless of what we say. How can we help our children to understand? All right, then the next question is, how can we explain that meat eating is bad to kids? There was a few questions on this, that at school they go and they have perhaps pepperoni pizza or their friends are doing something and they're not allowed to do. And again, that doubt of how do I make my child understand that this is what we follow, this is what our family follows, and that the world around them, and the next question, and the world around them is different. And this is the biggest issue of being raised in America and having our children in opposing forces in the material world. And so because this issue is inside every single one of our homes, if you first realize that you are the first spiritual master and that this is your responsibility, just the realization that Krishna has given this responsibility to you and you alone, and you are the, or you and your husband, and, or, you know, both the parents, if a Prabhuji is listening, and there is no better person than you to rectify this. First, let's become clear on that. There is no better person in the entire world than you that Krishna has given to be this child's mother and father. So come first with that confidence, okay? And then we'll go through the different steps of how to do it. So once we have the confidence that, okay, there is no better person than me, now we're going to start molding our life in a way with our children to help them take on our paradigm. So just like, the most important thing for us is to make sure our children are alive. We give them, as mothers, we give them milk from our bodies, starting at a very young age. And we do that not with any yelling at them, screaming at them, sounding frustrated, feeling insecure about it. Okay, maybe in the beginning you do get a little bit insecure, but it gets to a point where it's just completely natural. Cooking for your children is completely natural. And making sure that they don't run into the street is completely natural. Making sure that they're healthy and happy and fit, a lot of these things come naturally to us. It doesn't become a big emotional insecure struggle. Because we all have been raised with love and care, most of us. Of course, those of us who have not been raised with love and care and a strong foundation, that's a separate topic for a separate seminar, a separate conversation. But we don't have to worry about being alive. We don't wake up in the morning with our 5-year-olds and our 10-year-olds and wonder, are they still breathing? Are they still eating? Will they starve today? That's not a concern in our head. And so if we can get to that place with our children of, are they still devotees? Do they believe in Krishna? If they're around other people, so if they're around other friends, are they going to forget to put their clothes on? You know, like putting on clothes is something that we absolutely, no matter how much that child runs away when they're 2, by the time they're 5 or 6, they all know how to put clothes on. In the same way, that kind of confidence needs to be given to the children. And how is that given to the children? From the very beginning, every single one of your interactions, just like I'm sure all of you mothers and fathers, no matter what happens in the day, you make sure that your children will eat a meal. They will eat breakfast or lunch or dinner. And no matter how much it takes running around and chasing that kid during the playground, and I've seen many of our Indian families at the playground, they eat roti, shak, you know, all the vegetables that most of the Western families may not even think to touch the vegetables, but you will make sure that your child has gotten food. Because that's just part of your identity as a mother. I have to nourish, I have to feed my child. So in the same way, make it part of your identity that I have to give my heart to my child. And what is in my heart? Krishna is in my heart. And I have to immerse myself in Krishna so much and in Krishna consciousness so much that it's an automatic, natural immersion with my children. And what does that look like? Someone, a mother, a father whose heart is immersed in Krishna? It doesn't look like someone who's forcing themselves to be immersed in Krishna. So because we are also battling our own minds and having to force ourselves to be immersed in Krishna, that's why we start battling our children and their minds. So if we immerse ourselves, and it's so easy to immerse yourself when you're also immersing your children, what does it look like? My mother-in-law, she is a very sweet Mataji, very sweet Vaishnavi, and she joined from a completely different paradigm. She's an American. She was raised in Seattle in a very affluent family, Mercer Island, where Bill Gates lives, and her parents were extremely wealthy. She left it all and became a disciple of Srila Prabhupada in 1969. And she had both my husband and her daughter and my husband's sister. She had a boy and a girl. And every single night, they would climb into bed at 7 o'clock, because they, you know, the next day would start at Mangalarti time, and she would read Krishna book with her children. And this was as normal and as regular as brushing your teeth. And they would read Krishna book, and my husband tells me this was the highlight of his life, that it was like a routine, an evening routine, that we're going to go to bed reading Krishna book. And there was no japa involved. There was no, the rituals. It was all the stories. It was the stories, it was the discussion, it was the look at Krishna and Balaram and how they play, and look at their friends, and the discussion of the qualities that come out from those stories. Like, wow, what would you do if you were in that situation? Look, they got in an argument. What would you do if you're in that situation? Has that ever happened to you like that? And basically, if you look at all of the children who are raised, and all of the families who are able to, like, really make this transition, it's starting off with immersing yourself in the past tense of Krishna through the stories, through all of the different stories that are in the Bhagavatam. And so some of the questions that were asked were about needy being. How do we get our children to understand that when they go into an outside environment, they should not be eating meat? And so start off with the stories of compassion. Start off with the stories of empathy, not in a preachy way, but we're going to read a story every night. And of course, I'm talking about younger children here up until the age of 10. It does work for a little bit later. I don't know how old your children are, who those of you who sent these questions about meat eating. But start off with stories like Krishna and Balaram with the cows and how they took care of the cows. Start showing them during their daily interactions about the living entities, how each living entity has a soul, and how there are 6 symptoms of the soul, and this is what we teach in our Gurukul to our children, how every single, even the spiders and even the ants, and if you involve them, every single story talks about some kind of compassion to animals. Like, I remember a puppet show when we were younger that we used to watch, that my children watched, about Jed Barrett. And in there, Jed Barrett is entering the palanquin, and the king has entered the palanquin, and Jed Barrett is carrying it, and the palanquin is moving back and forth, and the king, he starts yelling, "Why is the palanquin moving so much? What's wrong?" And he comes off and, like, "I'm going to punish this palanquin bear." And then you hear the voice saying, "He doesn't want to step on ants." And it's this whole thing. And I remember ever since I was 3, 4, 5, 6, I remember that he doesn't want to step on ants. Why does he want you to step on ants? And that stayed in my heart, like, oh, he doesn't want to hurt even the ants. And so that compassion starts coming into the child's heart, that empathy. So you bring them, you take them to a farm, you live life with them according to the principles that you feel strongly about. We spend so much money and so much energy and time on piano lessons, on good clothing, on perhaps good vacation, on the highest schools, if you have private schools. How much actual time in our day, how many actual minutes are being spent on making sure that your children are imbibing the Vaishnava qualities and the conversations that happen with them? And the way those conversations happen have to be talked. They have to be using your words. We can't just think that the children will learn this by picking it up by being around us. Yes, they will see our actions, but we're living in America. And in India is a collectivistic culture where you learn things through actions. Indirect communication is very strong. But they're going to a school which is an American school, and they are becoming Americans, which means that they're going to need words. Because Americans are very, very verbal. And they're getting all kinds of words thrown at them and given to them. And so that's why if you go to Krishna Culture, if you go to Krishna.com and you see all the books there, if I was a parent when you know that had just become a parent or am struggling with these ideas in Krishna consciousness, I would literally spend as much time getting every single Krishna conscious literature there is out there for children, bringing them all into the house and sitting and one by one by one going through all of the stories. Kids love stories, and through these stories, you learn all the principles. So the most important thing of how we're going to give our heart to the children is through telling them these stories. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, here is the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Think about this story is exactly what children can be. So you talk to your child. I've read the seventh canto with the boys, and it's a systematic, you know, because every single part of the seventh canto, there's a few chapters on the Prahlad Maharaj story, and every single part, and if it gets boring, I change it up immediately. It cannot be boring for the kids. It has to be interesting, and it has to be, like, in story form. And, you know, even nowadays, because they're on the screen so much, there are really good Krishna conscious things to watch that they can imbibe these stories and these moral principles. And so I hope that explains a little bit about how to really, really develop that strong identity in our children so that when they're faced with it out in the external world, it's, you know, not so confusing. It's not so, like, what do I believe and why do I believe it? And so that was, you know, the main topic, the main thing that I wanted to say. And so, Mataji, is everybody still there? Hare Krishna, are you all there? It's talking to a screen here, so.
Yes, Mataji, we are all here, Mataji. We are almost 14 devotees here.
All right, so. Seems like there's, okay. So we had those few devotees that had asked those questions. Are they still here with us? Can you please introduce yourselves to me, those of you who had asked those questions?
I'm not sure, Mataji. Geeta Mataji is not there.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Indu Mataji is there.
Yes.
Vinaya Mataji is there. Yeah, Mataji.
Okay, Indu Mataji. Hare Krishna, is this Indu Mataji?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, my son goes to public school, and we just joined Krishna consciousness. So not all of us are in the family itself are completely converted to vegetarians. So that's
yes, yes. So that was also a wonderful question that you had asked, and I also think that first of all, the fact that you have come to Krishna consciousness and that you are still practicing it, even though not all of your family members are practicing it, is a very big glorification of you. And I wanted to, you know, Srila Prabhupada had given different instructions at different times, and he had spoken, so, you know, different instructions. Some may be like, oh, how can you be married, or how can you be in that situation where there may be someone that's following principles against what your principles are. But he also was very loving and very compassionate to be really aware of this precise circumstance that, you know, you may be in. And so I don't know if you were aware of this, but Srila Prabhupada's sister, her name was Pishima, and Bhavatarini, and then the devotees called her Pishima. So she was also placed in a circumstance where her husband and her family members were eating meat. And Srila Prabhupada gave her quite a few instructions about how you go into their home and you become like in like a needle and out like a plow. You stay extremely humble and extremely loving, and only loving, happy, positive interactions while staying strong and staying firm and fixed in your own principles, in your own values that you're starting to learn about. And any conversation that happens with those that are around you that have to do with Krishna conscious principles, if possible, they stay positive. Now, this is a really difficult thing to do because we're telling ourselves to shut off and become negative, so to speak, to the non-devotee principles like, say, eating meat. Ourselves, we're becoming repulsed by it. We're psychologically forcing ourselves to become against it. So then to be right next to and to love and to even serve someone who is not following those principles can become very difficult to do. But if you look at the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Pishima, they were able to do it. And if you pray to Lord Nrsimhadev and you pray to Srila Prabhupada, they will give you the strength to do this. What does that mean? That means that simple things, like I assume you still have to cook non-veg items and you still have to serve the non-veg items. You go through all of the duties that you need to perform, and you also make your veg items and you offer those to Krishna. And you say to Krishna, my dear Krishna, with all of the love and all of the love in my heart, every single cell of my body, I would like you to accept this prasadam. And when you accept this prasadam, I want you to place yourself directly in each and every one of these grains, because my husband and my children will be eating some of these grains. So you make the non-veg and you make the veg, and make sure that the vegetarian items are offered with so much love that then they will enter the bodies. And the physical, the cells and the molecules and the heart and the organs and the lungs, and they will start purifying your family members' bodies. And through that gradual process of purification, that prasadam is so powerful that it will automatically take its time to purify your family. And you don't need to, unless you start seeing interest, you don't need to force it. Don't force it. Let Krishna do it. Krishna, I read a beautiful quote by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Krishna is the reformer. Krishna is the changer. We are but his servants, and we are going to have him guide us as to how to be strong in our own qualities and then try and help those others who would like to be going that way. And if you want to take a little bit of a stronger approach because you see that they're interested, oh, really, okay, someone had asked about... the children are eating chicken and eggs, but not red meat, but then they were fed red meat somewhere else. So it's such a great step that the red meat has been cut out, and gradually we need to cut out the rest of it. So how do you do that? You can start a little bit stronger of a step. You can start talking about animals. Go visit the farm. Go talk about living entities and how there are souls everywhere. Even gardening, you see how a plant grows and you become more in touch with nature and in touch with going to visit a farm is a really good idea, going to India and feeding the cows roti, starting to have them feel a little bit more of that compassion. Even just reading the Krishna book stories help, because Krishna is always surrounded by peacocks and calves and deer, and you don't ever even have to directly preach that, look, we don't hurt these cows, we don't hurt these animals. Just by having that be around them through the stories that they hear at nighttime, that'll start making them be a little more aware. And then generally children, if you explain to them on that side through compassion for animals or just even becoming a little attached to other living entities, that helps them think, wait a minute, I wouldn't want to hurt it. Because they don't connect. The one mother who had a question about pepperoni that sometimes gets in the lunch at school, they don't connect that this pepperoni is an animal that has died, that someone has had. You need to show that side of it, nurture that side of it through a very positive way. Does that help at all to answer that question?
Yes, Mataji, yes. Try to teach them compassion, because that's something, I at this stage, I don't think my son even knows what that is. But he's 6 years old, but that is something we could develop, and especially through stories, because kids love to read stories and they love to read picture books and very colorful, and he is very interested in those things. So we do share
Perfect. And you know, it's perfect to develop compassion with a six-year-old, because six-year-olds are just psychologically beginning to understand that how their friends act with them is how they want to act with their friends. I don't want to hurt my friend's feelings because I don't want my feelings to be hurt. And they're starting to get a lot more social awareness. So you can even first start developing the compassion by relating it to mommy and daddy and your friend circle. How did that feel when your friend treated you like that? It didn't feel so good. So we won't treat someone else like that. And there are even so many books in the library on this empathy. If you, you know, literally Amazon, go into Amazon and just type up empathy children's books, and you'll get so many books on empathy. And then you can start blossoming your child. So then if you see that you want to develop the compassion in your child, literally every single day you should think about one interaction that you see where he's displaying compassion. So let's start it with his circle of friends or his family members or his siblings. Like, oh, I saw how compassionate you were because you such and such. That showed me that you're really compassionate. You have so much care for others. You're so kind to others. Like, start even noticing that that's a quality that needs to be developed. Then that can start moving towards living entities. And then it also means that if we see a spider crawling in the house, I was alarmed. I remember one time I was at a non-devotee's home who was not a Vaishnava, and they saw a cockroach, and they took their jutta, they took their shoe, and they just whacked it and killed it. And when we were younger, that was just unheard of. Like, we never imagined that somebody would just kill the animal right away, you know? And so you start showing that in little ways. Like, if there's a spider, you put it in a cup, you take it out. If you see an injured bird, or, you know, you become a little bit more like showing empathy in those ways. And, you know, the bugs in our house is the best way, because also little boys love bugs. And so that's a really good way also. Sometimes having a pet, I know a lot of our families, Indian families, don't have pets. Sometimes having a pet helps to see that this animal has a spirit soul. And like this animal has a spirit soul, all animals have spirit souls. And they're alive and they feel pain. And so then that, you know, that helps with that.
Thank you so much, Mataji. That really addresses my question. And actively teaching them what their actions are like, that would help kids of that age, definitely. Hare Krishna.
Yes, make it really practical. Any thoughts, any spiritual thoughts we have, any spiritual values and principles we have, we need to make it really relevant and practical to our children through actual, like, a trip somewhere, through discussions, through stories, through, you know, actually make it practical. So are there any other questions that I didn't answer? Anyone else have any thoughts they would like to share?
Mataji, I don't know. Radhika Kasturi Mataji, and then Shama Rupini Mataji, and Vinaya Mataji. And also, Mataji, my question was, I asked the first question, even sometime we reach little strict with the kids at home, and then we don't allow them to watch certain things. All the program, TV program, we don't watch. But if we go somewhere, kids will be very attached. We think they are. We don't allow certain things at home, and then they will suddenly they see something, and they are so attached, and then it will be very, very fearful for me, Mataji. How we can make them to understand such a way? They can understand these things will hamper in our spiritual life.
Okay, so you asked this question about watching certain programs on TV or chocolate, but then if they go to a friend's place, they do it.
Yes.
And so how old are your children?
One is 5, Mataji, one is 14.
Oh, wow, okay. So you've got two different types of children here. You've got a 5-year-old who will explain it peacefully, who will listen peacefully, most likely, will be easier to convince than the 14-year-old who is in a completely different psychological category. So the first thing that needs to be identified is your most important principle that the child not watch the TV and not eat the chocolate, or that they develop love for Krishna?
Yes, Mataji. Because chocolate, these things I also allow at home. Means I am not very strict with the chocolate, but so many things, watching television, so many programs is there, Mataji. Sometimes, just like we go outside to do program, and then people are opening the TV, and they're so attached, and then they don't want to come in the program, all these things, you know. Means, if they want, they can watch, but I'm very afraid because we are very much strict with them. Later on, they will have more attached in these things rather than Krishna consciousness.
Yes, and it is absolutely something to be worried about. It's a very important concern that you're bringing up, and that's why more than in raising our children in Krishna consciousness, instead of saying, no, we're not going to do this, no, we're not going to do that, you know, more than all of the no's, there have to be many, many more yeses. And as a matter of fact, with children, there should be very few no's when it comes to Krishna consciousness. There should be only yeses. And so that's hard for us to, like, turn into in our heads because we think, well, they're raised with such an environment that everything is a no. You know, the TV, the videos, the songs from the outside, the books from the outside, everything has non-devotee material in it and can affect them and potentially harm them. So we feel like everything is a no. What can we give that's a yes that makes it fun? So then what ends up happening is that that child associates Krishna and love for Krishna and becoming a devotee and finding out that Krishna is my very best friend. He associates all of that with no. I don't get to. I have to suffer. It has to be austere. I have to be the one who doesn't understand, doesn't know. I have to feel left out. And all of the no's become prominent. And as soon as that kid hits a foot out of your home, or maybe 10 years later when they start developing their own independence and their own identity of who do I want to be regardless of what my parents say I am, that immediately they do not turn to Krishna. They don't see that Krishna consciousness would be who they want to be because it's like, why would Krishna consciousness be who I want to be when everything was so negative and everything I wanted or I enjoy doing was wrong? I'm not saying everything you're doing in Krishna consciousness is negative or wrong, but I'm saying that let's make sure that our days are filled with a lot more Krishna conscious yeses and the meaning behind it and the reflection on it. So any rule that you have that's related to Krishna consciousness, there should be a discussion about it. Even with your five-year-old, there should be a reason. The Bhagavad Gita verse that I quoted last week that said that they are naturally, Shruti Nam Srimatam Gehe, that verse, the one that was after it, that children are naturally inquisitive and they are not going to be attached, not going to be interested in the ritualistic like processes of the Vedas. They're not going to be, they're going to be against the rituals. That means that everything they're doing, they're looking for meaning. And so if you don't give them the meaning behind it and it's just a rule in of itself, then it doesn't help them. It just creates this, I don't want to do it. And I can go so far as to say that let's make sure that we're picking and choosing our battles wisely and that we're spending more time telling them how Krishna conscious they are instead of more time telling them how they are not. And as parents, we tend to do this in every area. You are not good with your homework. You're not getting good enough grades. You're not good enough with your friends. Continuous correction. Instead, let's turn it around and use the specific words of, I noticed that you came to the program and you were in the kirtan, singing in the kirtan so nicely, and it made me so inspired when you drive home. Never mind that your kid at the program may have been watching a little bit of TV with his friends because all of his friends are watching the TV. You come home and you shore up his identity of how he was in the kirtan, dancing in the kirtan, singing so loudly. If all of his friends are watching TV, Mataji, don't make him be the one to not watch the TV. That is not fair to do to a child. It's not appropriate to do for a young child where socially they're developing their confidence and now you're telling that child that all of your friends are sitting in that room and watching and I'm going to pull you out and make you sit somewhere else. Then either don't go to that program where all the friends are watching. Don't put him in that environment at such a young age where he has to fight his friends, and he has to fight his identity of who he is. Better than go to a program and work with the parents, all of the parents, and say, hey, let's engage these kids instead of having them watch the TV. Let's all do some coloring or some crafts or, you know, have some, like, sweet activities for them to do. Because asking a five-year-old to not watch the TV screen when a bunch of other five-year-olds are watching is not fair. It's not fair to do that to a five-year-old. And so better you would do that at home, like, okay, we have less TV at home. We don't watch the TV at home. But if you're going to go to an environment where he's fighting it and wants to, now he thinks, oh, Krishna consciousness means that I can't be with my friends. Another alternative is you talk to the host and you, you know, shut the TV off and go take all the kids outside and play with them outside. You know, that's what I had to do with my children. I wasn't seeing anybody that was establishing, like, positive activities for the kids. And so here at the school here as well, now we have a new group of families that are coming in that are taking the time to do the dramas and to do the parties and to do the, you know, extra stuff with the kids that are Krishna conscious. Because otherwise your kids are just raised in this no, no, no. And I'm telling you, from experience, they will then just turn it off. There will be a few years in their life where they just decide, I don't want anything to do with Krishna. Mataji, I have so many friends that were raised this way. So many. There were how many schools in ISKCON? There were 50 or 60 schools in North America alone of children who were raised this way in the 1980s, where Krishna consciousness was a list of rules. And there were just a few of us who were raised that Krishna consciousness is healthy, loving, positive, fun interactions. And there are just a small handful of us that are left in Krishna consciousness. Only those of us who felt that Krishna consciousness was positive interaction. Anyone who had Krishna consciousness attached to no and rules, they have all left. I can count on my hands the children who are my age and my husband's age who have stayed in Krishna consciousness. The rest are all gone. They're not interested. Some are eating meat. And they were literally raised until they were 18, 20 to be Hare Krishna devotees. And they have no interest. And so it's really important that we focus on telling our children any communication that has to do with Krishna consciousness has to be a, wow, you are such a wonderful devotee. I'm so fortunate to be in your association, to notice the good things. We go in the program, the 5-year-old or the 14-year-old sits for the entire program. They listen to the lecture, perhaps. They sing the kirtan so nicely. We sit in the car, we go home, and we are only dwelling on what they did that was wrong. Let's dwell on what they did that was right. And let's communicate to them what they did that was right. And if there are things going on that are wrong, that you don't believe in, that you feel very strongly about, don't bring your child there. Don't put them in an opposing environment and then get upset that they're doing the opposing activity. It's not fair. Is that okay for me to speak so strongly like that?
No, Mataji, it's completely fine. That's why I was thinking I never do. I don't when they are watching TV, but only my concern, when we are more strict at home and when they go do something, and then I was feeling maybe they have more strong attachment, maybe they will develop more attachment in that things rather what they are practicing in home. And so, I understand that is nothing wrong on the friend. They can do their choice. They have their own choice and they can.
And your 14-year-old is very intelligent. Now, they've lived with you in your strict, sweet Vaishnava home for many years. And so now they themselves can understand the reasoning behind it. And you can have conversations with them like this, like, oh, that TV show was really interesting, huh? What did you find interesting about that TV show? Some TV shows you watch are not so, you know, good for us. Have you ever seen some that, like, maybe change our consciousness and don't help our consciousness? And some may be good for us, like the educational ones. In your house that you have no TV, already that means that your child identifies TV is not so good for me to watch. So he's already accepted that. So now you can blossom that by encouraging him to speak or her to speak about their ideas of why we don't watch TV. And, you know, even sharing that with others of why I don't watch TV. Even making a list, you know, little actual conversation on it. And I know sometimes it can seem superficial for those of us who are not raised in homes where we talk so much. But there in America, everyone verbalizes everything. That was the first thing I noticed when I moved to my husband's home, is that there was so much talking. And so that's what they're getting from outside. They verbalize it. And so you verbalize it. Wow, I thought it was so interesting that this particular show was on. Did you find anything interesting from it? What could we learn from it? And do you ever wonder, Bita, why we don't watch TV at the house? Or do you understand the reasoning why we don't watch it? I've had to have this conversation with my boys. They have friends who have Nintendos or Wii or this and that, and we have certain video games that we allow them, but we just visited a friend who had a video game that we don't allow because we have certain ones that we've discussed that we allow and certain that are too violent we don't allow. And so, of course, both the kids looked at me like really laughing, like, look, this family has this video game and you told us we couldn't have it. So on the way back, we had a conversation about it. Of course, both my boys are much older now. One is 14. Sorry, Nita's 15 and the older one's 17. But I always have conversations with them about it. I don't want to force you to do something you don't want to do. And I'll say that, especially to a 14-year-old. Like, I understand, but I have spent 10, 15 years really telling them that their identity is a devotee and only communicating to them that they are devotees. And if they make poor choices, it's not like schoolwork. It's not like brushing teeth. It has to be very delicately done when they make poor choices. Is that okay?
Yes, Mataji. And another thing, I have getting trouble because my older daughter is 14 and small is 5. Because if they are in same age, it would be very nice for them to go through whatever their level, and even if they want to movie, both can watch. Right now, the thing is, the 5-year-old kids, I don't want to show so much of expose in all the television from this age. And 14-year-old girl, she want to do her own way, whatever she likes. But sometimes what happens, that I cannot make them to go together. The consciousness is totally, means 14-year-old kids and then 5-year-old. I told her, if you want to watch something, you can watch yourself, be in your room, because she's very small. I don't want her to expose all this. Later on, if she has interest, I have to give her. Right now, from the beginning, I don't want to do her. Means in that case, sometimes it's very difficult for me to do, Mataji. You have any idea, Mataji, who can do the things?
Yes, so that, let's place that in another topic for how to work with teenagers. That's a really also important topic. So let's place that in at another time that we can cover this for any who has teenagers, and we can also have some kind of a systematic step-by-step process as to how to work with teenagers. For sure, it's a very important conversation. I wanted to also check if there are others. I have to leave in about 6 minutes. So are there any other questions that were sent that were not covered, or who else has sent any questions that I wanted to just see that I had covered the ones that have been previously sent?
Vinaya Mataji, Shyama Rupni Mataji, Radhika Kasturi Mataji, Gopi Mataji, all the Gita Mataji, I think, and other are some question was there. If you have any doubt what Mataji is telling, you can go ahead, I think.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. This is Vinaya. My question is, Mataji, my daughter is a 4-year-old. She says whatever I say, like she listens whatever I say. The only thing is, if she sees her friends not obeying the parents or not cleaning their things and everything, she says me, oh, they are not cleaning their stuff. You ask me to clean or like that. I cannot tell that they are bad. I mean, like, how do I handle this situation, Mataji, that kind of situation?
Yes, so that's also a very, very good question. So how old is your child?
She's 4-year-old, Mataji.
4 years old, so she's very young. And if you can just repeat it one more time, as you were saying it was having some interference.
What did you say, Mataji? I did not hear.
The question, if you can just say the question one more time, it was having some interference.
Okay, question, Mataji, like, you know, she obeys my order, everything very nicely, but if she sees, like, you know, other kids are also coming and playing with her, but they are not cleaning this stuff, she says, okay, they are not cleaning. So how do I make her understand that, you know, this is right, but I cannot tell their friends are bad, right? It looks again bad. She says, like, my friend is bad. How do I manage that? If they are not cleaning and she's cleaning, how do I explain that this is the one you have to follow, like that?
Oh, I see. Okay, so that your friend is... Oh, right. Okay, I just see them. You had actually sent it. If she sees her friends are not doing it, then she feels like, why do I have to do it if my friends are not doing it? That's the question?
Yes, Mataji, yes.
Okay, that's a really, really good question. Let me think about that one. If my friends, the four-year-old is expected to do certain like types of chores, and then the friends come in and she feels like she doesn't want to do the chore. So just turn it around. So is this like in your home this is happening, or like in general, like this happened in your house where your four-year-old was helping you with something and then her friend came and didn't help? Is that what it was?
Not like that, Mataji. When they play with the toys and, you know, what happens, they mess up everything, right? Usually she doesn't do like that. She plays very nicely with one toy and keep it back again. But when the friends comes, you know, she doesn't do like that. She does yes. Everything, whatever it happens, like that.
Okay, so then that means now that your child's identity needs to be more affirmed. And so how is that? That means that when the friend is not there, you sit with her and you put away the toys with her every single time. Do that for like 1 week or 2 weeks. That every single time you take time off from whatever you're doing, cooking, cleaning, whatever, and you go and you sing a song. This is what we do in school. Clean up, everybody, everywhere, clean up. You know, there's like a whole song that you sing. And you turn that cleaning up into a joyous activity. And you go walk with her and you place all of the toys back. And make it not a thing that she has to do that's annoying. There's this movie, Mary Poppins, I don't know if you've heard of it, where she does this whole, she cleans up, she gets the kids, she's a nanny to a house, and she gets the kids to clean up the whole place, and she's on roller skates and smiling. Also this other Pippi Longstocking book where every time she cleaned up, it was like a whole big fun activity to do. And I'm thinking about it because for me, when I clean up, I start getting angry. Like, why have to clean up? Why do I have to pick up all this stuff? It's so frustrating, so annoying. I don't want to do it. And so my kids start feeling that too. They start associating doing the dishes or sweeping, mopping the floor as something negative. So naturally, they don't want to do it. But if you associate it with something positive, like a song and a dance, and this is the best time to do it when they're 4 years old, start doing the cleanup with her in a happy way. And just even for four, I would say you just need to do it for like a week or 2 weeks. And then every time she puts it away, then you say, wow, you're so good at cleaning up. I noticed that you put everything exactly back in the location that it needs to go in. And that shows me that you can teach someone else to clean it. And now this is what happens in the Montessori classroom in our school. We've got 15 little children that are age 3, 4, and 5 that know precisely where every single item is. They know precisely how to take it, put it out, work on it, and put it back. And it's such a clean, organized system, and it's shocking. You walk in there and you see how it just works like a busy beehive where everyone knows exactly how to do it. There's no negativity associated with it. So I would do that. I would do that for 2 weeks. Anytime she cleaned, I would walk with her, hold her hand. I would do a little skip and sing a little song. You can YouTube some different songs. And you can even go on Amazon or the library and check out some books on cleaning and make it a fun thing. Literally everything we make fun, our children will never complain about doing. If we make it a chore, then they won't want to do it. So we make it fun. Then when her friend comes, at four, they're so young. Yay, we get a chance to do the cleanup song. Who wants to do the cleanup song? Oh, you don't know the cleanup song? Now you put the pressure on the friend. You show your child that I'm going to turn it around and put the pressure on my friend. Instead of the friend pressuring me to stop cleaning, I'm going to be the one to pressure my friend to clean. We had a really great friend, Mother Mahadevi, when we were in Los Angeles Temple. And she used to have us over to her house, and she used to get us to clean her pots and wipe out the dishes and all of it she would do for us. And then afterwards, she would go take us for ice cream if she was the mother of one of my friends. And I would come home, and my mother would be so frustrated. My mother would be so disturbed. How is it that you'll go to her house and do her chores, but you won't do your own chores in your own house? That's not okay. And how did she do it? It was just so fun to be around her and to like to do the cleaning with her. Then when a friend comes, now everybody's engaged in that cleanup song. And I'm telling you, you just have to do this, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then they'll start doing the cleanup song on their own, and they'll start throwing putting the items back away. Then because the material world is such that everything turns to disarray, after 4 or 5 months, you'll have to redo it. You'll have to start with the cleanup song again and start making it a happy thing again. I have to do that in my school with all the students all the time. The line, we have like a full, nice, neat line as we're walking out. After 3-4 months, the line starts going to the side and we make it again. We do the whole routine again where I'm with them, make the song, stand straight line, do the marching dance, and then they get it again. And so, you know, clearly it feels like a lot of this takes time, but you take those 2 weeks or those few moments now to do it, and it'll go for the rest of their life. It, like, literally, it will be established that we will put our toys away for the next 10 years. Is that okay? Is that something practical that you could think that could help you?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. It's a detailed explanation. Extension to it, Mataji, like if some kids are not obeying their parents or hating their parents or shouting at her parents. My daughter never does like that. When she sees, how do I manage that situation?
Kids are shouting at their parents? And your daughter doesn't do that?
Yes, Mataji.
Is that what you were saying? That when you see your kids around other, they're going to be faced with things that are not different, that are not like our home. They will
yes,
be.
Yes.
And you,
yes.
When they get older, you can speak respectfully to them about it. Like, if they start picking up that they start shouting to you, then you can just very lovingly say, you know, I don't shout to you, you don't shout to me. Other people may shout to their parents, but that's not something we do in our home. And that's what I used to say to the boys. Other kids may do that, but in our home we don't do that, right? And you understand why. And then in the beginning they won't question. When they start coming to like 8, 10, 12, they start questioning. But when you tell them when they're 4, 5, 6, they won't question. They feel so happy that you talked to them about it and you brought them aside. And you're such a gentle boy. You have such a good quality, Bika. Like, I've never heard you shout to me. So what happened today that you're shouting to me? And if we see some others, then that's what they do in their home. They're not good or bad, but every home has a different rule. And in our home, this is our rule. Just as simple as that. In our school, we have some kids whose parents don't eat chocolate on a kanashi and some parents who do eat chocolate on a kanashi. And the two girls are fighting with each other. No, you're not supposed to. Yes, you're supposed to. And I just simply had a talk with them. We discussed, you know, each family has their rules and their ways of looking at something. It doesn't mean I'm better or I'm worse. Just like I have black hair and brown skin and your friend may have blonde hair and blue eyes. Same way we have different rules in our families. Just simple discussion. And it's really nice to not correct or have that discussion in front of, but to do that at nighttime when you're telling the stories. So if you have 3 times a night or 5 times a night where you're reading Krishna stories, stories from the Bhagavatam, just going through every single katha, the Prahlad, Dhruva, Bali Maharaj, Jad Bharat, Krishna Balaram, Agasura, Bakasura, you know, unlimited, luckily Krishna has unlimited pastimes, then these kinds of conversations come up automatically. How was our day? What kind of things did we notice that we liked? What kind of things were disturbing to us? And less us talking, we should be hearing the children and having them talk, and then we're listening. Then we go back to the story. And if we do this within 1 year, 2 years, we start realizing that we're really connecting. We're giving our heart and our core values to our children. All right?
Thank you so much, Mataji. That was very, very nice and detailed answer. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. I think we, Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Padma, Mataji. I think I would like to know, I am not in the, I used to be in the Krishna consciousness in the beginning when they were kids. My kids were like 3 and 4. I used to read the stories. At that time, I did not have problem, and then we did not continue that or practice. I was there, but kids not were in that association. Now they became teenagers, like 12 and 13.
Yes.
Now it is becoming a little bit difficult to, maybe I am not good in my sadhana itself. I'm not saying I'm not there in that sadhana, the strong sadhana for myself. So I think maybe I would like to have some help on how to address this and get this when I try to tell, because they have their identity and question, why we have to do this, why we have to put tilak, why we have to do this. And if I try to tell explanation, it doesn't make sense, mommy. What you're telling me, it doesn't make sense. So
What I'm saying, is it making sense?
No.
Or with the children?
My kids, when I try to tell, so we have to put tilak or we have to do this, for example, right? And why do we do this? And then I tell the explanation of what I read from it or things, right? Oh, for example, for my daughter, I would tell her, you have to put bindi or bottu, because girl, the significance of bottu is this in it. Oh, that doesn't make sense, mommy, what you're telling me. Nobody puts bottu in here. But
so send those kids to me. I'll make sense for them. But
really
what it is, then, it is. It needs to make sense, and I understand that. So there are quite a few. It really helps if you go on Krishna.com or Krishna Culture, Mother Irmla's webpage, and you research all of the material that's out there to help explain these Krishna conscious practices to our children. There are books also coming from Pune that write it in a way that kids can understand it. There's a Tilak song. The body is a temple of Krishna, who's the Supreme Lord. Tilak is his sitting place. We mark on our body and face Om Keshavaya on the forehead. And all of these, like, very, for our children, to help explain to our children why we do what we do. Because it's true. They're not going to understand it. Like, what is this? You know, there's a beautiful story of Gopichandan. There's a story of Krishna's headache. How even Krishna was so enamored and enchanted by the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis that he created this entire pastime to show their glory. And, you know, there's that story. What else for Tilak? There's the story of the king who got his head smashed on the rock and then went to Yamaraj. And even though he was very, very sinful, because there was a little bit of Gopichandan on his forehead, he was immediately liberated. There's so many things out there that can be told in story form to the children.
Okay,
so if you get as many books as you can buy of the children's books and the children curriculum, then even just every single day going through one after the other, we have to give our children the philosophy. We have to share with them the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, because as we're becoming devotees and studying it all, we can't expect that they're just going to automatically learn it by being around us. Just as we're studying it and reading it, we need to do that with them and do it at their level. And so I say, if you start reading every night, or, you know, 4 or 5 times a night, just different stories, then all of this will start solidifying their identity.
Mataji, these books, you said that Krishna.com is where I can get these books, Mataji?
If you go to Krishna.com to the children's section, there's a whole variegated, so many books there. Just order as many as you can. Even something simple as if they see pictures of kids with tilak on, they see that, oh, okay, this is my identity to be someone who wears tilak. Simple things like that. From the childhood, if they start seeing and being around that world, then they don't have so much question. It's not so foreign. But they're around opposite worlds from the beginning, preschool, daycare, you know, all the way to everything else is opposite to them. And then suddenly we're giving them something foreign. Let's not make the outside world or the non-devotional world their main world. Let's create a world, a beautiful world for them in our homes with all of the Krishna conscious literatures.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Mataji, you had mentioned that you're running out of time and you would have to leave. Is this a good point to stop for the day?
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, for sure. Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. And thank you for all your questions. I hope something was of value.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much for very patiently answering all of our questions. And you also provided very simple, practical solutions for our day-to-day problems. And you have inspired us to reach out to our children in a more positive approach, so that they can also awaken their Krishna consciousness. I'd like to thank all of the Matajis for their questions, and we look forward to your association again, Mataji. Please do provide your association in the future also. We'd like to end here with Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Her Grace Gopi Gita Mata ji ki jai,
Jai
Jai. Thank you so much, Mata ji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mata ji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.